Open up with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I'll start with the people on Zoom. Sorry, it took us, we have some technical issues here, but we've got you on now, so thank you for your patience.
Okay, so we're gonna just go the action items, right?
Yeah, also the other items not on the agenda that people want to talk about, but nobody notified me of wanting to speak.
Okay, so we'll go to 2.1A, reverse of a number of budget reductions.
Okay, so as you know from our 45-day budget update, we were in a better place than we thought we were when we did some of these budget reductions, both in the income that's coming in as well as less of a deferral, even though we're still getting a significant deferral, there is less of one. And so one of the areas in which when I negotiated with all the different groups or talked with all the different groups about their reduction was that if we found ourselves in a better financial position, that we would come back and reinstate some, if not all, of the items that we could. And so that's where we're at. I think we're in a better financial state than we were when we first started. And in the group on 2.1, those are all non-bargaining groups. Those are groups except for the WESTA, except for the secretaries. They're in that group as well, but they are all furlough days or a 1% cut that they took. And so I asked that the board approve reinstating all of those listed on 2.1. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
I just have a comment. Thank you, Crab. I just want to thank all these groups for working so diligently with us to take those cuts. And to take those days, it takes a great group of people to do that and to do what's best for the district and for kids. And I want to thank all those people who were willing to do that. And I'm glad that we didn't have to do it and that we're able to give it back and that they trusted us enough to know that we were going to do that when we had the opportunity. And I think that's huge. So that's my only comment.
And I'd like to mirror that. I've made all of them very aware that the district was very happy that they were willing to work with us and understood the overall issue that we were dealing with, not only with the change in how we're educating students, but the financial burden that was putting on all of the district's reserves, as well as the potential 10% cut, which got changed to deferrals, that got changed for still deferrals, but less deferrals, and the fact that they all stepped up to really help, even though many of them were gonna work those days that were furlough days and everything anyways, because they knew they had to. It was nice to deal with a group of people that, a bunch of groups of employees that were willing to help out. And that's one of the reasons I feel it's very important for us to give back the items that were on that list, because that's what we promised we would do. And I think the money, although we're still upside down in spending, it's not near the 1.8 million that we thought. And so that's why I'm bringing it forward to you.
Any other questions or comments? Do you have a motion?
Make a motion that we approve 2.1. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passed. Okay, so now 2.2A, CSEA, revised MOU.
Right, so back when we did, when we did all these reductions, we had an MOU that you passed with CSEA Chapter 626, which is our CSEA classified employees. And some of those items that we had on there were holding 2% of their 3% raise that they had agreed to, freezing step and column, no para eds for combo classes, and a few other things that were on the original one, plus the library text. eliminating the one retired position in the special ed para, eliminating a position tied to also a retirement. I met with CSEA on Monday, giving them the same background that I've given all of you about the savings that we feel that we didn't, or the lack of reductions that we need to do. And so some of those items have been taken off the MOU. And so this, I'm presenting you a new MOU that would have only on the reduction, the para-ed, no combo para-ed, unless the combo includes K or one. The library tech would still stay on there, three positions that went from 8 hours to 190 days to 3 hours, but it changed to 181 days because the furlough day was part of the one that we took away. And then the regular ed, paras, all of them moving from 3.5 to 3. Again, those two things are really more business decisions because of where we are in the education process. And the 3.5 and 3 is simply this. Forever, they've had TK and K paras getting 3.5 hours and first grade paras getting 3 hours. But as we know, bubbles of kids move through. And what always happens is we end up with a kindergarten para having to move to first grade and they're 3.5 hours, so we don't take their time away. And then the first grade para moves down to kindergarten and they're at 3 hours, so then we increase their time. And then we have this disparity amongst all of our para educators where some teachers in first grade get 3.5 hours of help and some only get 3 hours of help. So this equalizes that and makes sure that all of them can move between grade levels and not impact the hours that are provided to those classrooms. And then the other two, the grounds, keeping that on there, that's eliminating that position, and the para educator, which one I talked about before. The other piece to the MOU that I want to call your attention to would be on page 2, which is number 5. We had talked a number of times about, because we're in distance learning, do we have a need for our paraeducators and our yard duty supervisors, or should we go through the layoff process? And again, not knowing what the future holds, laying them off, we still own them for 60 days. And so therefore they would still be paid for the first 60 days. And then at that point, the layoff goes into play. But if we're able to get back to school within that 60 days, you don't end up laying them off. Or if, you know, in 90 days we needed them back, we could have lost some of them because they found other jobs or don't want to come back because we laid them off. So what I worked with CSEA on this one is that we have needs in other areas, for example, child care for our staff's children, that we may need to have a parent educator or our duty supervisor supervise that classroom. The CSEA is a big stickler on the issue of people working outside of their job description. And so what this allows us to do for 2021 only is in lieu of laying off the paraeducators and the yard duty supervisors, we are able to use them for other areas as needed, as long as they're not backfilling a place that we have reduced hours. And that the caveat to that is if we're using them in a position, let's say they're making $20 an hour and we're using them in a position that's $22 an hour, we would pay them the differential for that $2 an hour so that they were getting paid for the position. CSEA was fine with this. They actually appreciated the board not laying off all these employees and understood that we have different needs under distance learning. So therefore, they agreed to that. So that's really the only major changes to the one that you had previously agreed, and all of it is positive for our employees, in my opinion. So I bring you the new MOU that, if you approve, then will have to be ratified by CSEA themselves within the next week or two.
Any questions or comments?
I
have one. The special ed para that you're reducing from 6 to 5 hours, is that somebody in-house already in a special ed para position?
So currently, yes. What the plan was is that Diane Mesonotti, who was a 6-hour para, retired. We moved that position to a 5-hour position, and then we were going to move one of our in-district special ed paras, open it up to all of them, whichever one got the job would move to 5-hour, and their job would be eliminated. So it could be we eliminated 3.5 hours, it could be we eliminated 3 hours. It just depends on who moved into the job. Currently, we haven't opened that position because A, this hasn't been approved by that group, and B, is that there's really no need to make that change until the students come back. But it will only be advertised in-house. It will only go to our employees. It will not be
all district special ed.
All district, well, actually all district para eds, but most likely it would be hard for somebody to compete if a special ed para wants it because they already have the background and the knowledge. It could be a shift in sight, though. It could be that the para educator that gets it, it's a Bear River position, so it could end up being a Lone Tree special ed para that moves over, and then we reallocate based on our numbers. And again, we're in a situation right now where our numbers are fluid daily. And last check, we're about 100 students down from what we were last year, even though we've offered all these different options. And a lot of that is parents that just aren't going to bring their kids back until they can bring their kids back. You know, for example, in the past, we've had about 40 TK kids between our two sites, if not 45 to 50. And right now we have 4 at Wheatland Elementary and 8 or 9 at Lone Tree. So those parents are choosing to leave their children in some sort of a daycare facility or a preschool facility that can offer in-person education or at least in-person care, because TK and K are not mandated. They know they can do that. So it does create an issue for us in how we can't have a TK class with 4 kids. So now we have to build a TKK. And then that does something to the K numbers, and then you build a K1, so on and so forth. So
I have a question.
Yes.
Can I unmute me? How does that work?
Space bar, hold the space
bar. Hold the space bar down.
Okay. I'm holding it. Anyway.
If you speak up to here, here's the speaker, and they should be able to hear you.
Where is it?
Right up there on top of that.
Okay, this is Rana. I just wanted some clarification on that, because it made it sound like you're asking a special ed para educator that's already employed to apply for this job in-house. Wouldn't that be going from 6 to 5 hours? Are you just talking about a regular? Do we have special ed para educators that have less than 5?
Yes.
Okay.
We have a lot.
I didn't know that.
So we don't have very many left that are 6 hours. So okay. What this did is it took that 6-hour position that the person retired and made it a 5-hour. Now we are going to look at all of our people that are 5 hours or less. The 6-hour wouldn't apply for it.
Okay.
5 hours or less, and then they will apply, and whoever gets the position, their position, whatever those hours are, will be eliminated from the budget.
Okay. Didn't know there were others that had 0 hours.
The majority of the savings for that is in the benefit package.
Any other questions or comments? Do I have a motion?
Motion to accept 2.2.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
So I don't have this on the agenda, but under superintendent's update, I want to give you a little update about the waiver and the waiver process. So the waiver for bringing children back, if you're still on the state watch list, is the guidelines have been released. The guidelines are similar to what I had originally told you and the public, in that it's only K-6, So for us, it would probably be K-5 for a waiver. We wouldn't necessarily look at splitting our 6th, 7th, and 8th grade up as a softer common term camp. But it'd be a K, so for us, it would probably be a 2K-5 waiver. Some of the things that Dr. Liu had said had changed did not end up changing. So for example, the guidelines say you have to consult with your labor groups, your community, and your parent clubs, parent associations. Dr. Liu assumed that it was going to say you have to get agreement, and then they have to give you a letter of agreement, and that is not in the guidelines that have been drafted. It is consult with. So potentially you wouldn't really want to, but potentially you could, the district could apply for the waiver without agreement from those groups. So that was a change, or it was actually what it was originally. It was a change for what Dr. Liu interpreted it to be. And then there are a couple other items in the waiver, but the big one is that if you are on the state watch list and you have a rate of 200 positives to 100,000 people living in your town or your county, you will not get the waiver no matter what. And we are currently, as of this morning, Yuba County is 280 per 100,000. So the waiver is not available. Or it's available, but it will not be approved until we get under the 200. And I believe Sutter County, I don't pay as much attention to Sutter County's numbers, but I believe they were like 284 per 100,000. So again, at this point, Sutter and Yuba County will not have a waiver approved even if we apply. I want to see if I have the other information that I received. So they did open up. This doesn't really impact us because we're not holding sports, but they did open up youth physical conditioning can still proceed with observing the health protocols. And basically what that means is you can have students condition in pods of, I think it was 10 or less, outside, and they can condition for the sport, but yet the sport is still not going to happen until spring. So again, I'm not sure why you would do that, but you could. And then you can also do some conditioning inside, assuming the students are wearing masks, the coach is wearing a mask, they social distance, so on and so forth. So I'm assuming maybe that's for like volleyball or something like that. But again, it is currently the plan for all high school sports to hold them all in the spring. And so I'm not sure how many school districts will take up the piece about sports. We currently are not planning on bringing sports back until our kids are back in school. And that's only gonna be if we have others to play, because currently the other districts that we play are also not in school. There's 1,373 cases in Yuba Sutter County, 533 in Yuba, 840 in Sutter. And I think I read off the numbers for the split. So that's pretty much it, but I'm happy to answer any questions as related to the waiver at this point.
Anybody have any questions? Any questions on there? Adjourned to
closed session.
Okay, we'll adjourn to closed session.
Thank you guys for attending.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Peggy. Good luck.